Isaac is born. And Isaac is born to his parents, father Abraham when he was 100 years old, and mother Sarah, she was 90 years old. This ancient story has layers of meaning and things that we can learn and reflect upon. So I will not even engage in how historically this story could be true or not. In a way, to me, that doesn't really matter. The first and probably quite most important message here is that it's throughout the whole Bible, it's very clear. God keeps his own promise. When God makes a promise, it will be completed. Even if we think it's impossible, it will be completed. If you have been following, or if you'd like to read, you read the Old Testament, it's kind of clear in a way. God's been promising Abraham and Sarah that they will have their own son who will inherit from them. But in the beginning of journey, Abraham was 75, Sarah was 65. Even in modern days, that's not an age that you expect a woman to give birth to a child. But about 4,000 years ago, you are probably oldest woman in the whole village, if not whole region. Yet God has been promising this. But for 25 years, it was not happening. That's why Sarah's patience was running out, and she gave her slave girl, Egyptian slave girl Hagar, to her husband, Abraham, so that maybe that's the way they will have a son. And they had a son. And his name was Ishmael. But God said, no, that's not the way I am planning. That's the way you're thinking. Because you ran out of patience. And God came back again the last scripture reading and assured that you will have a son. And Sarah was kind of listening and laughing in the kitchen, thinking, how am I going to have a child at this age? She was what? 89 years old. Of course not. Of course it seems impossible. But message that is quite apparent in all areas, in Old Testament and even in New Testament, in Jesus. What is saying is that what is impossible to humans, it is possible to God. Are you willing to believe it? That's the question to all those who claim to be believer or believers. So that's the question to you too. If you claim to believe in God, are you going to believe only things that seems to be possible in your judgment as doable by God? Or are you actually going to believe something that seems impossible to you, yet could be possible because that's the promise of God? And one of those, or the most essential example of that, could be, can I change? Can I become a different person? Can I indeed become truly a spiritual person? Can I overcome all these things that's within me that I have been struggling ever since I remember? Indeed, will there be a day that I can overcome that? Become free of all this? And as far as the human knowledge and understanding goes, it may seem impossible. But God's promise is that, yes, indeed, it will be possible. So that's one thing. The second lesson we can reflect is about Sarah. As a woman, Sarah lacked nothing. She was born beautiful. She was, wherever she goes, probably men praised her. When they were in Egypt, people praised her beauty even to take her to Pharaoh. That's a huge compliment to the beauty of a woman in ancient standard. She had a husband who loved her dearly and very faithfully. We don't read any passage saying that Abram's having an affair or having another wife. Even the slave girl Hagar, Abraham slept with her only because his wife Sarah was insisting on it. So, but she lacked one thing, but one thing that was very, very important for a woman at the time: giving birth to a child. She was barren. She was barren all the way till when she was 89. Think about this. Sometimes some people seem to have everything, but that person's not happy at all, or actually even depressed. Why? Because one thing that person truly desires is not there. And without that, that person cannot feel any contentness or happiness in life. And sometimes our mind is fixated on such a thing. And sometimes that is because that's so important for us. In Sarah's story, God promises to her husband, when she was 65, they'll have a child. She might have hoped. Who knows? Time passes. She's becoming 75, 85. Now, when she's 89, God comes and says, you will have a child. That's why she laughed. Really? Really? Now it's possible? But when she was 90, she had a child, according to the story. And she truly laughed this time, not cynically like before, with joy and fulfillment. And in a way, that's how God works. God is waiting the time that is proper to complete this kind of task. And there is something that we need to work on so that God could work those miracles for us. And this whole process is actually stated in the beginning when God was calling Abraham. That was actually reflected in today's hymn too. Come thou fount of every blessing. God said to Abraham, you shall be a blessing. You need to be a blessing to all others. And there's a process of becoming such a blessing. Now, if you may wonder why I chose today's New Testament reading, there is the third part, is the connection with going even a little bit deeper than how is this story actually connects to our spiritual cultivation. Okay, there's acknowledgement that God keeps all his promises. I get that. And there is something that we feel we miss, we're missing, and we desire, we want it, and we work on it, and on the times right, God might fulfill it for us, because there is a promise to it. That could be also wonderful. But more important aspect of it is about how do we actually become blessing to others. I have reflected a little bit about my not that long but not that short. I'll be becoming 50 this year, so I could say I am about a little past middle. And sadly, I still see more of me in the past, misunderstanding, not fully understanding, sometimes hurting people than being a blessing to other people. And there could have been many reasons, excuses, but being a blessing to others takes something deep within me changed. And that changed, or that change, is called regeneration, rebirth. There is something that we need to change within us, the way how we are born, in order to be much more perceptible and receptible to God's coming in, and thus bring blessings to others. And that's how it is reflected in John by Jesus. First is saying, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The first condition, if you continue in my word. What does that mean? How can we continue in the word of Jesus? That means we are not only studying it, not only understanding it, but we are living it. Now, going back, how many of us are actually studying the Bible and actually trying to understand the meaning, the truth within it? After that, actually, we can try to live it. However, people were not very understanding what he was saying. And one thing he was pointing out was that there is no place in you for my word. The way how we develop our life, if it is too much materialistic, in a way it is very selfish, then we may not have a room for such a spiritual teaching. Because we already filled up everything that's within me with everything that is from this world. As a matter of fact, if that's the case, Jesus is saying, you look for an opportunity to kill me. So, does that mean that they were actually trying to kill him? Historically speaking, yes. Does that mean that can we actually get into this such a trap that we might even pursue a way to kill Jesus? And sadly, answer is yes. If we were to think that the teaching of Christ is not beneficial to me, well, we might want to eliminate it. We want to remove it from us. We might want to reject it. That's in the understanding of actually killing. So, what makes us to make this judgment or understanding on what we are, what we are actually seeking, desiring? That's something called rationality, a rationale. rationality, according to Swedenborg, is it's an ability to distinguish what is good and what is evil within me. And yet, this rationality or rationale comes in two different ways. One is a rationale that is born and nurtured by means of all our studies and our wishes and our desire to be successful in this materialistic world. Because if you want to be successful, you want to make a lot of money, there's a lot of judgments you need to make. You need to first gain probably a lot of learning, information, but that's not enough, right? You need to know how to analyze them, how to make them useful for you, and how to measure the timing of when to get out, when to get in, when to invest, when to not invest, which company to go, what kind of work to do, how to deal with people, how to manage things. This all requires a certain degree of judgment and evaluation, assessment. And that comes from your rationality. That first rationality that is helpful for us to be successful in this world is symbolized by Ishmael, the first child of Abraham from Hagar. Isaac symbolizes rationale too, but the second rationale, or spiritual rationale. This rationale enables us to distinguish what is spiritually useful and what is only materialistically useful. Therefore, we can make a judgment on what shall I do in order to actually work with God in changing myself. And change, again, is necessary because we want to. Our destiny is to be blessings to each other. But we all probably have experiences that many times I happen to hurt more to those I love versus be blessing to them because I was not able to manage myself. I was not able to control myself. I was not able to think one more minute before I say those things or do those things. So that ability comes with spiritual rationale that is symbolized by Isaac. And if we are able to do that and more blessings we become to each other, there's more happiness, there's more contentness, there's more intimate relationship we can build with each other. And after all, in this journey, we're not alone actually. All of us are together. And that's why we have each other. We don't have each other to criticize each other, but we have each other so that I can become blessing to them. And of course, they can become blessing to me. In essence, the divine that created all of us is love itself. And only thing this divine desires and wishes is that all of us to have a happy and joyful life. And God endowed us ability to create such a community and society. However, in order to create that, each one of us has to overcome oneself first. One's own instincts, one's own desires, one's own selfishness. And that is enabled by Isaac. That's what birth of Isaac is symbolized and why it's important. So may you be blessed and continue to work on your spiritual cultivation with prayers and hopes that God will keep God's promise for you. Amen.